Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to turn the little lapel mic on just in case my voice goes south on me. Maybe you'll be able to hear me a little bit better. You know, most of us at some time in our life, we have probably made the statement, I wish I knew then what I know now. You know, as I look back over my years, there were probably quite a few things that I could actually say, I wish I knew then what I know now. Because if I would had known what I know now, things I would have done different. And most of us could probably look back and see that in our lives, that there were things that we would change if we had an opportunity. Now, most of the time when we say, I wish I knew what I knew then, what I know now, is a statement of regret. Some of the lessons are insignificant because we learn and do better. But some lessons are very significant, and many times we live with regret. Such a case, I believe, is recorded, and I appreciate Brother Tony reading Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I believe that there is a case recorded for us in Luke 16 that will help us to perhaps not make the mistake that the rich man made. Comfort now can result in torment later. Have you ever done something in your past that still torments you today? Well, think about the rich man. If you would take your Bibles, open up to Luke 16. I'm going to reread verses 19 through 23. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had a maid. He didn't want anything. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You see the contrast between these two individuals? The rich man had everything. He lacked nothing. Lazarus says here, he was laid at the gate, which tells me that he literally had to be carried and laid there at the gate of the rich man. And he was in need. He was in want. He was full of sores, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And he wished to be fed from the crumbs of the rich man's table. We read on. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. In Luke 12 and verse 15, we see this. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. How many of us have more stuff than we really need? Number one. In fact, I was telling Nancy or Sandy or maybe it was Russell that I had stuff that I needed to start getting rid of because I just had too much. You know, I could barely get my car in the garage. Now, that's my fault. But look here. And he said unto them, this is Jesus talking. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he has. But too many times we put so much into the thought of the things that we have or the things, what's even more ridiculous, is the things that we want. Even though our houses are so full right now, we can barely get more stuff in. What do we do when there's a sale going on? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. We have two freezers, plus the freezer and the refrigerator. When you open the door of the freezer, especially the one out in the garage, you got to put your hands like this because things are starting to fall out. And we got a little chest freezer in the basement, which is quite full. But you know what happens every time Negro down here in town has a meat sale going on? We go down here and buy more meat. We probably have enough meat in our freezer to last us for 2 months or probably longer. But yet, too many times in our mentality as humans, our desire is for more stuff. And I look at this rich man. He fared sumptuously. He lacked nothing. Everything was at his bidding. And then there's poor Lazarus. He literally had nothing. He couldn't even afford to go to the doctor to get the sores looked at and dressed. And because the sores were probably so infected, it brought the dogs. So many people are consumed with their comfort in this life that they give no thought to the comfort that's coming in the next life. We're so concerned and consumed about our comfort today, now, than in the comfort that's to come. But you know what? We cannot say that we were never warned. All right? Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, he's saying, listen to what I'm telling you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, did you notice that word there, hardly? That doesn't mean that rich people cannot go to heaven. But what it's saying is that there's going to be very, very few. And then he goes on. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. Why? Because they have so much faith and so much trust in their wealth that they truly do believe they need nothing. They need no one. Take your Bibles, if you will, real quickly. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But you know how many people find their contentment in the things that they have instead of godliness? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we cannot carry it out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, we could take these few verses here and look at the life of the rich man. He was content, but he was content in what he had and not in godliness. Too many times, I believe, we put so much thought and so much energy and we desire so many things that we're blinded many times to God. Well, you know, God wants me to be happy. He wants me to have pleasure in this life. And having stuff makes me happy. Well, could you imagine? Do you think that if Lazarus, do you think that perhaps maybe if he had the wealth that the rich man had, do you think he would still be a godly man? I personally think he probably would. Because he was godly being poor, so poor in fact, that he had to be laid at the rich man's gate and begging for the crumbs, the leftovers. But he was still faithful. If the living knew what the dead know, I believe that we would pursue godliness more than wealth. Self-sufficiency now will possibly and more than likely result in begging later. All right? Look back over into Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, let's read verses, I want to look at verses 23 and 24. Luke 16, 23 and 24. And in hell, the rich man, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in torment in this flame. Did you notice here that the script kind of got flipped? Lazarus simply wanted the crumbs of the rich man. That's all he wanted. But now, with both of them dead, Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man in hell, what was he begging for? He was begging that Lazarus, the man that he basically kicked to the curb, the one that he could have taken care of, the one he should have taken care of, send Lazarus. You know, the man that I could care less about in life? Well, now I care very much about him. Would you send him and let him dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue? The rich man was self-sufficient. Lazarus was the beggar. Now after death, the script got flipped. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man became the beggar, wanting simple relief from torment for just a moment. Everyone, listen, everyone will beg for mercy. Everyone will beg for mercy. You'll either do it now or when it's too late. Lazarus begged for mercy while he was alive at the rich man's gate. Now, the rich man is begging for mercy when he could have had mercy shown to him if he would have shown mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Well, let's look. Luke 16:27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that would thou sendest him to my father's house? He was worried about his brothers. Again, he was begging. Begging to have Lazarus resurrected and sent to his father's house because he had five brothers. Five brothers. All right? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Today, now. Because tomorrow, we're not promised. In fact, James says in James 4 and 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Even the vapor that appears for a little time and then, like my voice, vanishes away. We're not guaranteed the next moment. Are we looking to our own self-sufficiency? Or are we looking to Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the blood that He shed on that cross for our sufficiency? If the living knew what the dead know, we'd beg for mercy now before it's too late. Am I right? If the living knew what the dead know, we would truly be begging for mercy right now. Because as we read in Luke 16, the rich man begged for mercy and was shown none The lack of concern now will result in very much concern later. Take your Bibles again, Luke chapter 16. I'm going to start reading in verse 27. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He said, I don't want my brothers coming here. He was concerned for his family. Didn't seem to be too much concerned about him while he was alive. But now all of a sudden, because he found out what he deserved, he didn't want his brothers to come into the same place. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, listen to what Abraham said. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Imagine, if you will, just for a moment. Imagine the fear and the regret that will set in when reality is realized. Imagine the fear and the regret that's going to set in when reality is realized. By what I've read here, the rich man had no concern whatsoever of spiritual things. But now he had a great concern. I think he finally come to realize that he was lost and there was absolutely nothing he could do, but he did not want his brothers to come to that place. He was concerned for their soul salvation. But Abraham told him, hey, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No. As you kind of get an idea here, they ain't going to listen to the prophets. They're not going to listen to Moses. They're not, as grand as one who is raised from the dead. They'll hear that person because of, he was dead. Now he's alive. But Abraham basically said, no, if they're not going to hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to pay attention to a resurrected Lazarus. People who give little thought to the eternal destiny of those that they love will suddenly take great interest when it's too late. By what I read, I don't think the rich man really cared two hoots about his five brothers while he was alive. We don't know if they were wealthy also, but we do know that he was not really that much concerned about them. But now he's very concerned. People who give too little thought to the eternal destiny of their own souls will one day be just like the rich man, saying, "Why did I not listen? Why did I not share the gospel with my family? Why did I not share the gospel with my friends? Why did I not share the gospel with my neighbors? Why did I not live a better, more productive life in Christ?" If the living knew what the dead know, they would simply quit giving lip service to spirituality, and it would become the pursuit of their lives. This story here of Lazarus and the rich man has so much in it for us to learn. Because we see what the rich man had and what Lazarus had while they were alive, and then we see them both being dead and what took place. I guarantee you that if the rich man knew the place of torment that he was going, he would have changed his mind. He would have changed his life. He would have taken Lazarus and fed him, cleaned his sores. He would have been a spiritual man instead of a wealthy, ignorant man. If the living knew what the dead know, don't you think that we would be different people? Let's make it short here. We know, don't we? We know what the dead know because of what we read here in Luke 16. The question is, does this knowledge move you? Will it move you? There is too much at stake, not only for ourselves, but all of those that we know in our family and our friends and our neighbors. Let us not be like the rich man, because we know what's coming in the next life. We choose today where we will spend that eternity. If you're here and not a Christian, you're outside of Christ. The rich man in torment in hell. That's a fact. But if you wish to change that, because you know what the dead know, and you want to become a child of God and have your sins washed away, we'd ask that you'd come. Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that maybe you've been living like the rich man and you would like the prayers of the saints, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?